All right, welcome back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. My name is Oliver, and we're back for another Discali episode today. It is Friday, March 8th, 2024. Good morning to everyone. It is 11 in the morning. But before we get started onto today's new episode on Discali, I do want to acknowledge that UBC and CITR is broadcasting and live on the unceded traditional ancestral territory of the Musqueam, Coast Salish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Today on Discali, we have a bit of a different kind of approach to it. I feel like we usually talk about like more like poppy R&B kind of music, but today we're gonna kind of take a turn, go back to like the basics, kind of see like, you know, a different genre that I personally am familiar with, because I do have a brother who you know, is studying classical music. But today I have a very special guest with me. Her name is Brooklyn, one of my brother's friends, and we're here to talk about her art and her music and her career, as well as an artist that, you know, she found a lot of influence with, and we have great stories about that. So I just want to introduce Brooklyn. Brooklyn, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing so well. I'm so happy to be on the show.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming in. I'm super excited to have you. So basically how the show works is that every Friday I run you through an album, but today we're actually going to run through an artist instead of an album. We're not really going to specify to one specific album. We're just going to kind of see the entire artistry of Caroline, and we're going to talk about her and what she's done, and kind of like where she kind of comes from, and like how she likes to play around with sounds. And then we're going to talk about Brooklyn and some of her own compositions that she's been able to, you know, have premiered around the world, and kind of like her career path, because you are, how old are you?
I'm 19. I'm turning 20 in a month.
Oh my God, that's crazy. So a lot of young talent, truly. So we're trying to bring a voice to that and just kind of discover new people. So let's get into Caroline a bit and talk about her. What do you know about her? Because like, she's completely new to me, but like, I'm starting to see that she's kind of like the brains behind a lot of music.
Well, she's an incredible artist. Mm-hmm. She's one of those composers that's kind of like bringing a new voice to classical music, because she doesn't really do classical music per se. She does a very mixed genre kind of classical music, which is really cool. But she was 2013 the youngest Pulitzer Prize winner ever, and like the first female Pulitzer Prize winner. She's just incredible. She's like one of the coolest musicians. I'm a major fan of her, but she's really cool, and she does all sorts of work. She's worked for Kanye West as well, but she's also worked with like A Room Full of Teeth and a Taco String Quartet, and they're really major for bringing new mixed fusion to classical music.
Right. Like I was searching her up a bit on Apple Music, kind of to see like what's under her name and everything, and it was actually a little bit hard to find like her own music, because for some reason it's not under her actual like artist name. But like I was able to find the Orange album, which you recommended to me, which we'll be playing a couple songs from that album. But it's under the Ataka Quartet, but it's still under her name. Like, do you know what that's about? Like, does she write for them or does she play for them?
She's one of those musicians that like doesn't say that she produced it. She'll like mix produce it. So she'll say she does it with the group, which is really cool, because it's collaboration. So I think like she wrote it with the Ataka Quartet.
Okay.
Which is awesome. But she's a violinist as well as a soprano and kind of an engineer a little bit. So she does play string instruments. Mm-hmm. I think that's why she kind of does a collaboration versus like just say that she wrote it,
you know? Fully multi-talented.
Yeah, that's, so multi-talented.
That's crazy. Oh my God. But yeah, like a little bit about Caroline. She's an American. I don't exactly know her age, but I feel like she's quite young.
Yeah.
To be able to like do all of these crazy different things. But just reading a little bit about Pitchfork that talks about Shaw. Shaw is a member of the vocal octet Room Full of Teeth, which has collaborated with Tune Yards, and she performed on the Music Heart of Breath, a modern classical work by the Arcade Fire's Richard Reed Perry. In 2013, Shaw won the award that you mentioned.
The Pulitzer Prize,
oh my God, I can't pronounce that.
The prize that she won, she wrote for this octet of voices. Mm-hmm. So it's an a cappella piece, but it's one of the most incredible pieces for voice, because she does like whispers and spoken word and shouts and stuff. And it's really cool, because it's totally new for vocal works.
Right.
Actually, Kanye West was sitting in one of the performances, and that's how he got to know her. And then he brought her on for a remix of Say You Will. Mm-hmm. If you listen on YouTube, it's like, it's incredible because you can, Caroline Shaw is like doing her own thing in the background, and then there's Kanye West. And it's like, I guess you would say there's Kanye West and then there's Caroline Shaw.
Depending on how you view it.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so crazy. I was going to say, like, specifically, like, do you know if, like, because Caroline, I'm guessing she's, like, classical, musically trained, but, like, classically.
Yeah. She did violin performance.
Right.
And then she studied at Princeton with a doctorate in composition.
Wow.
Yeah. So she got, like, her bachelor's and master's in violin performance. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah.
Because I think I definitely, when I started, like, hearing a little bit about her music, I found myself, like, very confused. I feel like in, like, modern day... Well, I also want to say that her music is very modern because, like, we wouldn't see this in, like, in history. But, like modern day, like, especially around, like, you know, the things that chart and things that make the Billboard, it's, like, very, like, easy to understand music. Like, the melodies and the genres are very, like, flowy, and it's nothing too complex for the brain.
Yeah.
But then we have artists, like I mentioned to you before we actually started, like Bjork.
Yeah.
Who Bjork is just incredibly experimental. And, like, it's just when you a couple listens to Bjork and you're just like, what is going on? I don't get it, but, like, it kind of makes sense. And I kind of felt like that with Caroline too. Like, I was listening to the Evergreen album.
Yes.
And the other song, which we'll play in, like, a bit, just kind of to introduce who she is and, you know, how she works with sounds. But I was so confused. But, like, it weirdly worked. And it was, like, this, like, weird layering of vocals as well, this weird layering of harmonies. And the entrance of, like, these really intricate sounds that you'd never really find in the song.
Yeah, especially with the string parts.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's why I love Caroline Shaw, because she's able to use string sound that you hear in contemporary music, but then totally bring it into, like, a pop tune-esque.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this song, it doesn't sound too pop tune-ish because it doesn't have, like, drums or anything.
Right.
But I saw her perform live in October, and she did the whole concert with a loop pedal and a microphone and, like, tons of cool effects, reverb and auto-tune on her voice, and then a live dancer, and they didn't do anything that was classical adjacent. It was, like, live writing of pop music or something.
Wow.
So she's definitely one of those artists that's, like, trying to push the boundaries and
get
classical music out of the classical realm, you know?
Right. Because, like, yeah, like, her music is under classical. Like, if you look at the albums, it's under classical, and personally, like, whenever I see that, I'm just like, oh, like, expect, like, a lot of strings, a lot of piano. Fully not that.
No.
And I feel like it just kind of shows how, like, classical music is kind of going, like, through, like, this, like, weird development and weird, like, I don't want to say renaissance, but, like, these, like, weird changes that are making classical music progress into something that's more new, novel to people.
I think it's fusion, like, the fusion of genres, like, classical music and pop or classical music and rock. Like, we don't need to change classical music. We just need to incorporate those kind of things into more popular genres, and then I think people will want to listen, you know.
Yeah, because, like, everyone loves the classics. Like, as much as, like, for me, classical music is definitely not something that I actively listen to. I had my brothers, like, he was always playing that, always being like, oh, it's my turn, oh, I want to play this, I want to play that. And, like, those melodies are just, like, you know, they're just tunes to your ears, they're nice to your ears. Like, we got Mozart, we got Bach, we got Beethoven. Like, it's just something that everyone knows, and everyone knows who they are. And now it's just, like, complete different twist, take.
But it's, like, you take the aspects that people enjoy from that music, which is, like, big swells or, like, moments that get your heartstrings, you know, tugging. And then you put those into something else. Like, there's tons of bands that do that. I'm a huge Radiohead fan. I feel like they have really captured how to take that kind of orchestration and put it into, like, rock music or alternative indie stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that gives us a nice introduction of, like, Caroline and her work. I feel like we should play the first song, which is called Other Song, to kind of introduce everyone to what they're kind of going to be into for today. And, I mean, what to expect. I mean, I kind of need everyone to, like, listen to this right now and just kind of just try and process it. But you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and this is Other Song by Caroline Shaw.
Thank you.
All right, we're back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and that was Caroline Shaw with Other Song. I mean, I'm going to let you kind of tell us your thoughts on it, because we were listening to that one part where it was like this really huge chord progression that, you know, reached a really high peak. Personally, I was like, I just thought of this right now. It kind of reminded me of like, I can't remember exactly the beginning of when you'd watch a movie, what is it, like TMX? And it goes kind of like that. Exactly.
I think she's going for that effect, because when you watch it, it gives you, like, you get that feeling.
Yeah.
Like, you can feel it surging, and then it's like a bass drop.
Classical bass drop, truly, yeah.
The strings.
But wow. I mean, again, this is what I was saying. I honestly don't even, what is she saying? Or is it just her, like, humming?
No, she just has a very, like, okay, well, I really like this kind of technique in singing, like Tom York kind of singing, where you can't really tell what the words are.
yeah.
Probably because it's so lyrical and there's the classical stuff kicking in. I don't know what she's singing, which poetry it is, but it's really beautiful.
Oh, it's a poem?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think she's saying, I can something.
Oh, okay, okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. I was honestly like, I was wondering what she was saying, because most of the time when I get to music, other than paying attention to the melody, I do really pay attention to like the lyric aspect of it. That's usually where I form most of my emotional connections with music. But yeah, in this case, I barely could understand what she was saying. But it worked. It was mostly just like, I don't even know what to call it. It's not humming, because she's singing.
No, it's just like lyrical singing.
But I can't, like you mentioned to it, like she was the one singing. She was probably also the one who wrote the music and everything. It's just completely just her.
Yes, yeah.
Wow, truly. But all right, let's talk about more. So like, she's part of Roomful of Teeth?
I think so, because when I read everything, it says she produces and she writes and she performs with a Roomful of Teeth. Mm-hmm. So she is singing in the recording. She's part of this a cappella group. It's 8 people. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that premiered the Partita for 8 Voices that she wrote. That's what she won the Pulitzer Prize for, the vocal piece. And she's just a really fantastic vocalist.
Yeah, I mean, like, Roomful of Teeth, just quick little search, was founded in 2009. And they are a Grammy Award-winning group for Best Chamber Music Ensemble.
She recently won a Grammy 2022 with the So Percussion Group, and she was singing with them as well.
Wow.
So, yeah. Go Caroline.
Go Caroline. Grammy, stuff. Wow. That is crazy.
This year has been so good for I'm going into Canadian, but like female artists too. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of performers and composers and stuff like, oh my God. And as I forget people's names, but there's just been a really good surge of like Canadian artists, female artists coming out and winning awards and Grammys and stuff for classical music.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, like
Caroline Shaw is not Canadian.
Yeah. She is American, but like, I mean, we love to see Canadians like going more into like the music industry. I mean, that's like our whole point and motto of CITR is to represent Canadian underrepresented voices, which is why you're here, which is super exciting.
Thank you.
But all right, I feel like we should play more of Caroline's music, just because like I need to know more.
She has so much stuff; you can't listen to one thing. You have to like
And they're everywhere. She's like Roomful of Teeth, and then like I said, the Ataka Quartet.
Yeah.
And then she's under herself as well. She's just writing for everyone. Like, I honestly like might want to find the one where she wrote with Kanye West.
That
and
one's
see.
Really good. If you want to play it, it's really
see
cool.
How it is. Let me see if it's explicit or not, just because like I know Kanye West, and see if we can find like a clean version of that. But off of the Orange album, I'm going to need your help in pronouncing the name. But Entr-act?
Yeah.
Entr-act?
Entr-act.
Entr-act. Like to interact.
It's really cool. I tried to sight read this piece once with a group, but it was too hard to sight read because it's got so many different time changes and stuff. But it's really beautiful.
Sight reading. I don't miss the days of sight reading. But so it's like interact, or is it like entre-act? Like
I'm
French.
Actually not sure. I think it's just entract. Because I've heard people.
Because for context, it's spelled ENTR ACTE.
Yeah.
So it's like it's a bit of like yeah.
This is a really cool album. It's recorded by the Ataka String Quartet. They're a quartet from Juilliard, but they do a lot of new music like this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you check them out, Now I'm starting to sound like a radio. If you check them out, they have an album, and it's all electronic string quartet music. It's like dance music. It's awesome.
Oh,
it should be in clubs.
Like dance house music.
Awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Attaka
String Quartet.
Attaka String Quartet. That's so cool. Yeah, I mean, like, this is another thing. Like, you don't only have to be leaning into classical music. Like, you can truly use the talents and your classically trained talent.
I think that's the future of classical music, is that these artists are doing that kind of stuff. Because we like it, too.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a lot of people who, like, still hold on to the past of classical music, which is awesome. But, yeah, being able to, like, put your own character into new music and being able to express yourself in different ways into classical music, I think, is really important. And with any type of artistry, with any type of music. Let's take a listen into, again,
Intract.
Thank you. Intract by Caroline Shaw and the Attaka Quartet. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and this is Intract.
MRG Live presents Zahara at the Fox Cabaret on March 26, 2024. Hailing from LA's Highland Park, Zahara makes detailed melodic indie rock that flits between shoegaze, post-punk, and dream pop. Their airy melodies, pensive guitar, and heart-churning lyrics join to create a dreamy indie rock. Don't miss Zahara at the Fox Cabaret on March 26th, 2024. Tickets are on sale now at admitone.com.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and that was Caroline Shaw with...
Entract.
Yes, thank you. Sorry, I forgot to turn on your mic there for a minute. But yes, sorry, one more time.
Entract.
Entract, thank you. That was actually like half of the song, because the song is 10 minutes long, and we do have to move on to Brooklyn
we're
in a
sorry,
minute.
We're sorry, Caroline Shaw, for cutting.
We're so sorry, but you were truly like, she was in her moment, in her own like little void of creativity. And we were talking a bit about like what we perceive when we listen to that song. And I thought you had a great take on it, if you want to talk about a little bit more about it.
Well, yeah, I think especially for people that don't listen to classical music a lot, it's really cool to think about like visual, if you're a visual thinker, like mm-hmm. visual shapes, especially in that piece. It's just all right. like squiggles and then something large growing. And then,
yeah, like I kind of thought it was kind of like a crazy brainstorm. Going
paintbrush,
on
yeah
kind of like a paintbrush, and it just kind of like has a flow with it. And then when we got to like kind of the end part, like the pizzicato, it's kind of like these different like I don't know dots, polka
well, it's
dots
cool
kind of thing.
She brings back the theme in like a in the string quartet with pizzicato, which mm-hmm. is funky.
Yeah, I mean even the album cover of this album is simply an orange. Like that's it, it's literally orange on a white background. It's super simple. I feel like I don't even know how to say
like
it.
Like minimalist.
Minimalist. Kind of, thank yeah. you. That's the word yeah. I was looking for. But super minimalist, which I maybe was a bit in, like shown in the song and tract.
Well, how it's also, like the album itself is inspired by gardens and stuff. So if you listen to some of the other pieces, like there's a limestone and felt.
Yeah.
And you can kind of hear song. Those textures. And then there's other garden ones. I think she's trying to go for that green kind of essence. That's what a lot of her works are too. They're very mm-hmm. natural almost.
Yeah, I mean
the
like
way she writes is
even
very, yeah
even just listening to some of these tracks like the ellipse
organic that's a good word.
The oh yeah that's a good word organic the cutting garden the orangery I don't even know if that's yeah. how you pronounce it yeah super organic super simple music honestly back to the basics but still super creative super intricate and just super awesome. That was Caroline Shaw. Thank you so much for talking about her today with me and kind of giving the audience a little bit about her. And maybe they'll look into her more and maybe they'll listen to the Kanye West song. I honestly have no idea what it's called.
It's Say You Will, and it's
Say
a
Will.
Remix of the original song. And
got
it's
you.
Not on, well, it's not on Apple Music, I don't think. I don't know if it's on Spotify, but it's on YouTube, and it's so good. And she did like a loop pedals of herself singing.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. Listen to it. So good.
I wonder if it's like one of those like low key underground like SoundCloud songs that is just like a remix.
I don't know. It has like
oh,
thousands
it's right
of
here. Kanye West, "Say You Will" featuring Caroline Shaw. I'm not gonna play it because
so
I do wanna. Yeah. Oh my God. Almost a million views.
Yeah.
8 years ago. Wow. Okay. Baby me. So definitely I'm not aware of that. But take a listen if you want. That's Say You Will by Kanye West featuring Caroline Shaw on the remix. It's on YouTube if you want to take a listen. But all right, Brooklyn, let's talk about you. Let's kind of get into like you as an artist, you as a musician, you as a composer, and your work. And I think we should just kind of start with like one of the first super simple questions that I have for you today. And that's, when did you get into like violin? I mean, you are a violinist. When did you get into it, and when did you decide like that was going to be your career? And how are you introduced to the instrument? Like, Were your parents musicians?
Well, actually, my dad's, he's a drummer, but he's not like a professional musician, but he okay. loves music. So my parents definitely played music all the time when I was growing up. Mm. And my grandparents had like a classic rock band.
Oh.
My dad would play the drums and stuff. So I grew up with like classic rock, Santana, mm-hmm. the Eagles and everything. But then I started doing violin when I was like 4 years old. And mm-hmm. I also did ballet. I did all of that kind of stuff. And then I got really into violin because I think that sometimes when you find something, you just have like a calling to it. And I just remember loving it. I mean, it wasn't always great. I didn't love practicing at the beginning because who does? But like, I definitely loved the feeling of performing in front of people and playing with other people. I'm like, I love ensemble work.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, I remember I tried the piano for give or take, I want to say between 4 and 7 years. I truly can't remember. I kind of blocked that out a bit. But I mean, yeah, the rush of performing in front of people and being able to play. I mean, personally, there was maybe not one time that I didn't actually mess up on the piano on in a concert. Notorious for messing up. My brother could truly call me out on that.
That's
any,
a big thing. Everyone messes up, though. Everybody messes up.
But yeah, no, I think it truly is like finding that passion and finding something that you gravitate towards. I mean, even when I bring my brother onto the show, because I really do want to, like, it was also him at four. I don't know if it's the magical number of four and grabbing an instrument.
They have
at
some
four.
Sort of thing about hypnotizing children. I mean, not hypnotizing. I'm just kidding. Like, it's really easy to learn something when you're 4 or 5 mm-hmm. years old. Although I think it depends on the kid, because I know like lots of people, mm-hmm. they don't want to force their kids into it. I wanted to do it. So it just depends. And also it really depends on whether or not you like the art, because mm-hmm. maybe you just didn't like piano and that's totally fine. Or you know what? It's probably also pressure. You know, like sometimes when you have like the pressure of an older sibling doing music too.
Yeah.
I know. Because I have a younger sibling and she plays the cello and she doesn't like classical music as much, but she's probably going to do like rock cello or something, which is awesome.
Wow.
We need more of that.
That's very true.
I have an electric violin too. I think we
Oh, you have an electric violin. Yeah. Oh my God, that's crazy.
I'm not like a very classical musician actually. I play a lot of fiddle and like jazz and rock music.
Right. Is it like one of those like the electric violins are the ones that like aren't hollow? It's like this weird
bright green and it's made out of carbon fiber material.
You
could run over it with a truck and it would survive. Not that I've tried.
Not that you've tried. Maybe an experiment for a different day. That's crazy. I mean, yeah, definitely just bringing into that. Like my brother, I remember his story. We'll get into it more when I actually get him on. But he like fully wanted to grab the cello, and it's that aspect of like wanting
to. Yeah, he told me that.
And pursue. Yeah, like there's.
I know his brother quite well.
Yeah, like you guys have played together
in
a quartet and like duos, and that's crazy. But there's a literal photo of my brother grabbing the cello and just being so content and so happy.
There were moments in my life where I didn't want to just grab the violin, but I think I heard a bunch of fiddle music and they were playing super, mm-hmm. super fast. And I was like, that sounds sick. Yeah. I want to do that.
Yeah, truly.
It took a while to get to play fast, but you know what? Yeah.
Yeah, and then practicing, just the aspect of practicing an instrument is just so draining sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to like string instruments, I think. I mean, maybe even other instruments, but I've just been around string instruments for like such a long time that there's just so much that goes into it. Like not only like handwork, but like head positioning, I feel like with a violin, and then like stringing work with the bow. It's just like a lot to actually keep in mind. And then I think your breathing also comes into play, which is super interesting because it's not like a breath instrument. It's not like a trumpet. It's not like any type of like air instrument. It's just fully a string, but like your breathing and your movement, and you kind of have to become one with your instrument.
Oh, for sure. There's like a meditation aspect to playing.
Exactly.
Because it's not just a mental struggle to be able to have stuff memorized and actually go up on a stage and like getting to your mental headspace, but you have to physically be into the music too, which is... It's kind of the most difficult part, I find, anyways. Like, being conscious of body and performance, because that's a big thing in this mm-hmm. kind of performance, like a violin performance. People watch you, and they want to see something entertaining. But there's different levels of that, from Lindsey Stirling to, like, Anne-Sophie Mutter. Mm-hmm. It's like, you have to be a performer, but you also have to be healthy.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Which I think is, like, I think that's where I found my barrier, is, like, I couldn't truly find myself... doing piano other than just like memorizing and performing it. which is, I think that's when I was like, I kind of saw the line. I was really young, but like I saw the line and I was like, you know what? I'm not doing this because I truly, really, really enjoy it and can find myself as being part with the piano, but I'm just doing that to perform and to memorize, and I'm trying to memorize the handwork.
But now you're doing this, and I feel like this is your connection to music. Like, music is, if you have a connection to music, you'll find it in something. And this is even cooler.
I love
radio
music, truly.
Is cool.
Radio is cool. Bring back radio. We need
support
it back.
Radios.
But yeah, no, that's great. Great answer for the first question. I feel like we're just going to have so much to talk about now. But I feel like one of the main ones as well that we just briefly touched right now was that aspect of performing in front of people and being in front of large audiences, especially if you're a solo violinist. Sometimes when you're a quartet, it's like the chemistry, you can find yourself a little bit more comforted.
Yeah.
But it's also a lot more stress in like trying to stay together as a group and finding that chemistry.
Exactly.
Especially when like sometimes it's like it's just missing.
Yeah.
But like how do you manage that, especially when you're in a concert by yourself in front of God knows how many people, and it's just you and your instrument and maybe like a couple backing up like strings? Like how is that process for you?
I think it's definitely meditation. Mm-hmm. 'Cause when I was little, I feel like I didn't think about that too much. I performed on the stage a lot when I was young. And when you're young, you don't really obsess so much over the technicalities of stuff or the logic. You just kind of go up and you're like, okay, whatever. And then you do it. And so I had like nerves of steel when I was a little kid. Like I could do it without getting nervous or messing up because of nerves.
Right.
But lately I have been thinking so much about meditation, because in university, it's not a huge focus, which is strange. Like you think in music university, they're going to talk about, you know, how to maintain your nerves and stuff. But actually I've been reading tons of books, and it's all about headspace. And it's not so much like you don't go on stage and you think, I'm going to not mess up and I'm going to do this. It's more about focusing on the fact that you're sharing something with people. And it doesn't matter if it's perfect, because nobody really cares about perfection in music. Like that aspect of classical music is what people don't like. You know, people actually want to go to a concert that's sincere and genuine, and like you feel like they're making music on stage in that moment. Like Jimi Hendrix playing a guitar solo is so in the moment that you feel like you're connected. So I feel that's what I've been trying to focus on in classical music, is almost being less classical in my performance mindset and thinking more like, okay, I'm performing something for people. Like, what does it matter if something goes wrong? Mm-hmm. Like, it's about sharing this piece and sharing what the composer has written with people.
I guess that's very true as well. 'Cause when I find myself, especially someone who's not trained classically, it's just like I always tell this to my brother. I mean, I used to always tell this to my brother a lot, is that classical music very much sounds the same in my ears when it kind of comes to the basics. It sounds really weird.
No, that makes total sense.
Yeah, but
because
like
we have like something that we're trying to create all the time, and it's perfection.
Perfection, yeah.
Which is gorgeous. Perfection is beautiful, but it's like a record. Like you're listening to a record, right?
No, yeah, which is a great example to bring in Caroline Shaw. Is like, I feel like she's leaning away from perfectionism and having that
half
perfect.
The time she's improvising on this stuff.
Oh, well, that I didn't know.
Right? Now you know.
Now you know, the more you know. That's awesome. Yeah, no, that's, I mean, yeah, the more you know, truly. But I'm going to bring in a little bit more about like your experiences in your career before we get into like one of your songs. But you seem to have a history in working with Music on Main. What has been your experience with working with such an amazing company that has hosted none other than Caroline Shaw as an artist in residence?
Oh, they're absolutely incredible. If you guys have not been to a Music on Main concert yet, definitely go and check them out, because they have them all year and all throughout the summer, and they have free concerts in the park, which is actually one of the concert series I've played in with your brother.
With my brother, yeah, I've been
we
there.
We do them every year. The Modulus Festival, it's usually at Mount Pleasant. Music on Main, I was first introduced when I met the cellist of the Microcosmos Quartet, and they run a camp called the Kessler Academy during the summer in August, and they perform all contemporary works. So like contemporary is the new classical music realm, and Caroline Shaw is kind of contemporary, moving out of the classical, but there's so many contemporary artists that we don't listen to. Classical musicians don't really listen to contemporary music, and you know, the general audience, mainstream artists don't really like listen to it either, so it's a kind of dying art. So they were trying to bring it back, and I went to the camp in the summer of 2019, and I did it for like four summers after because I loved it so much. But yeah, I met the Microcosmos Quartet and the artistic director, David Pei. Mm-hmm. And David has been like, he's helped me so much. Right. He got me connected. They found out I was a composer, and so they commissioned me a couple years after. And that's one of my pieces, I think, that we might be playing.
Do you want to introduce it a little bit and
sure.
let us know?
Yeah, so I was commissioned by the string quartet, the Microcosmos, and David to write for the Kessler Academy. It's mm-hmm. a string orchestra, so it doesn't have the brass or the winds. It's just strings. And I wrote it during the summer, and I remember I was really inspired by a piece of poetry by this Canadian poet, Alan Yaffe, and it's an interesting piece because it's supposed to depict waves, mm. but it's also set on this beach that had a lot of history. It was a post-bombing site. So the beginning of the piece is very kind of calming mm-hmm. a little bit, and then it gets really discordant because it's supposed to depict the sudden shift in character that happened okay. in the poem. But yes. Yeah.
All right.
This is called Celadon Waves.
Celadon Waves. All right. Let's play it. Let's take a listen and kind of talk about it later. You listen to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and this is Celadon Waves by Ms. Brooklyn Wood. Thank you.
Wrestling fans, let's get ready to rumble!
Boom Pro Wrestling is coming to you live from the Great Hall at the Nest on Friday, March 22nd. Wrestling maniacs of all ages are welcome to watch these talented fighters duke it out at UBC. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. and bell time is at 7:30 sharp. Enjoy the cash bar as you cheer on your favorite players. Visit boomprowrestling.com to purchase your tickets. And hurry, because this event is sure to be a knockout. Don't miss Boom Pro Wrestling at UBC campus on March 22nd.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
All right, we are back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and that was Celadon Waves by Brooklyn. You want to talk a little bit more about it? I feel like it was a really nice piece. That was a live recording as well.
Yes.
Where were you performing it?
We performed, oh my God, where was that?
I don't know.
I forget at this moment. I'll remember in a couple minutes. But downtown Vancouver, it's one of the...
The Orpheum?
Nope.
The Orpheum Annex?
Nope.
Queen Elizabeth?
Nope.
Was it like a smaller venue?
Let's play. Guess which hall this was at.
Hall? Oh my God, hall.
Oh, no, it was just a... Okay, which one?
I have no idea.
Vancouver Playhouse. I'm
the
so sorry.
The Playhouse. Okay, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay, nice.
It was awesome.
Was it the premiere?
Yes. I'm actually playing the violin solo in it.
Oh.
And the Microcosmos Quartet are the other soloists.
Oh,
it
got
was,
you.
That's. It was such an amazing experience. Like, it was amazing because, A, I got commissioned. This was my first professional commission, which means I was paid to write a piece, which is... huge deal because
yeah,
I was like
huge.
17 years old, so it was pretty awesome.
They're pretty young. Yeah. Very impressive.
Especially because they named me the composer in residence of the camp, which was such a big deal. And I mean, now you're starting to realize what a big Caroline Shaw fan I was, but at this time I was like, Caroline Shaw was the composer in residence of Music on Main, and I'm the composer in residence of Music on Main's camp. And I was like, mind blown. And yeah, actually so David Pei, the artistic director of Music on Main, ended up sending this piece to Caroline Shaw. And I met her on, this is so random, I met her on the street on Halloween night, walking to a party in my Halloween costume with a bunch of friends. She passed me walking down Milton. We passed each other. I saw her. She didn't see me. I handed all my stuff, which is sangria. I'm in Quebec. We can drink there. I handed it to my friends, and I ran after her in my Kiki, like from the Magical Delivery Service
oh my God, stop.
Costume. I ran after her, and I was like, Caroline Shaw. And what's insane is that, like, we were talking, and she knew who I was. She was like, I remember. I heard your piece, Celadon Waves. Dave sent it to me. And then she was like, we should take a selfie and stuff. And I was like, this is so awesome. And she gave me free tickets to her concert the next day. It was probably the best day of my life. Because then I went to the concert the next day, and they were like, it was one of the most intimate concert experiences ever. Because she did the live music with the dancer.
Right.
And so I was super close to her. And then I got to talk to her after for a really long time. And I mean, she's been my biggest mentor since like before this commission, before I got into this stuff and I got to say I was commissioned. I wasn't composer in residence like she was. She was composer in residence of the actual year. So she wrote a lot of works, but I was composer in residence of the camp, which felt really big. But yeah, it's Music on Main is my connection to Caroline Shaw, which is so cool. And it's because of David and the Microcosmos Quartet that I've been able to get these opportunities. So yeah,
that's an insane story. That's actually so cool.
It's so funny. People thought I was crazy. All my friends thought I was seeing things. So I was like, "That's Caroline Shaw. I just saw her."
And on Halloween too.
Well, it was the weekend of Halloween, so everyone was partying.
Yeah, I mean,
she was just walking down the street through a bunch of university students wearing Halloween costumes.
Mind her own business, and then you're like, I'm only gonna chase after you, and then we're gonna talk
in my heels.
In your heels, yeah. Oh my god. Thank God you put that sangria down.
She thought it was funny.
I mean, a little bit funny, but that's super cool too, because the article from Arts and Culture in Vancouver that talks about you and this exact piece compares, I'm going to quote it, who compares Wood's innate musicality to that of singer, violinist, composer, and former Music on Main artist in residence, Caroline Shaw.
Yeah, that incredible. It was David that said that about me.
Okay.
That I just can't believe when I read that, I had a heart attack, and yeah.
Yeah, wow, that's so awesome. So let's continue a little bit more with the interview and ask you the few couple questions left before we play our last piece and wrap up the show, since we do have only a couple minutes left. But during the writing process of your music, do you find yourself inspired by the smaller details or the bigger picture that you're trying to convey?
This is such an interesting question. I think I usually start with the bigger picture.
Okay.
Actually, that's a lie. I start with the smaller picture because I come up with like a motif or like a little melody idea first.
Okay.
And because I have a lot of jazz and like rock background, I usually just kind of improvise. So I don't sit down and write it like thinking about the form. I usually improvise and then I figure out the form. Lately, I've been thinking, okay, like if I'm going to base it off of a poem or a piece of like written work, I'm going to kind of frame out what I think the idea of the piece should mm-hmm. look like, the shaping, you know, where's the climax, where's the right. the little bits.
Like a story,
yeah.
kind of.
So I think about details a little bit first, my idea and melody, and then I think bigger picture. For instance, the work that we're going to play after this, mm-hmm. I came up with like the melody line because it's going to repeat a lot first, and then I was improvising and then everything came after that, which is kind of weird, but that's usually how music ends up happening.
Kinda
is it's
works.
Very random.
Yeah. I mean, like improvising is, I feel like, a big part as well, like especially when you look at like behind the scenes of like how some popular songs are created. It's truly just like some idea that you have in your head, and then you just kind of like hum it out.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of write it down.
Because it's usually what sounds good. You know,
right.
That's the right way to... What sounds good and what gives you goosebumps?
Do you find yourself writing your music more like in an electronic way or like more like by hand? Because I think my brother prefers by hand. But what do you find yourself doing?
Yeah, your brother is cool. I do not write it by hand. I have like online notation software, but
right.
I usually record myself. I use Logic and I'll have like 10 different tracks of myself playing. Because I'll think, like, if I'm writing something like a string quartet or mm-hmm. a string orchestra, mm-hmm. there's four parts or sometimes a bass, so five parts. So I'll record myself playing a bunch of stuff. I guess it's easier to hear because when you're not a pianist, I write on the violin, like we're a single line kind of instrument. Mm-hmm. I can hear a whole orchestra or I can hear multiple voices.
Right. So do you only use, like, your violin as, like a base of, like, what notes you want to, like, play? Because I know my brother uses, like,
I've been
the
mixing.
Piano as well.
I use piano, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, yeah, truly a writing process. I could never actually, like, put musical thoughts into notes and write it down. And it's truly such an incredible process that you guys are able to, I mean, have the talent to do. But, yeah, I mean, the second to last question I have is, like, much of modern-day music is rooted in classical music, as we were talking, and the simple basics of melodies, harmonies, and chords. Would you say that your music leans towards more of a European classical music or takes a more modern approach, this one that we've been kind of developing throughout the show?
I think I'm definitely going for modern approach. I mean, mm-hmm. right now, I'm a university student. I'm taking a minor in composition. I'm not taking private lessons, but I'm
okay.
taking some composition classes. And I think in university, like we're being trained to follow, you know, not follow, but like learn and respect the rules of classical music. But right now we're doing a lot of like contemporary music. So stuff that threw away all of the classical stuff, you know, past the Romantic period. So we're in like the 70s, 1970s of music composition. But I would say I'm trying to get out of that. Like, I really like the idea of writing classical music that's more like mainstream music, like alternative rock or pop music, so that maybe that music can be appreciated by like more people. That's my goal. this next piece that's going to come up, it's a song, and it doesn't really follow classical form, mm-hmm. but I think it can be respected in both. That's the thing. It's like Caroline Shaw's music, it's too hard to try to fit it into a genre because it's just so mixed. So I just, right. I say everything is mixed fusion or mixed genre because it doesn't really fit. So definitely 20th century, like getting out of more modern kind of writing.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's awesome. That's like the perfect way to word it. I feel like a lot of, artists during these days, I'm really into Ray right now and Loewe, and they both have albums that they released with symphony orchestras in the background.
Yeah.
And I just see this music just fully be adapted and adjusted to classical music, and it just sounds, I don't want to say better, but it just sounds more rich, I guess I want to say.
Yeah, it's because it just has these, back to Björk, that kind of music that you can't pinpoint into a certain genre per se. It's just fusion. I think that we don't always have to be like, this is classical, mm-hmm. It works well when they're mixing stuff and they're just writing stuff that sounds good. That's my goal, is to just write stuff that people enjoy.
True. One of Björk's newest songs, Oral, featuring Rosalía, starts off with a full classical background, and then it goes into this really hype beat bass, and I'm just like, it's just so, so confusing because cool. You merge two worlds together that in my head were just completely segregated, and now they're just fully intertwined together. Just before we end up wrapping the show, next up we have Dave Presents The Eclectic Lunch, so stick around at midday to listen to that. So I have one more question for you, Brooklyn, before we listen to your song and let the audience have a last listen to you. If you could describe your music and artistic style in three words, what would they be?
Okay, I was debating this. I wanted to say give them goosebumps, but I don't know if it works for everyone. So I think in three words, I would try to go for fusion, contemporary, and new music kind of style.
Perfect. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, Brooklyn, thank you so much for coming on to the show. We're going to leave everyone off with, I'm going to need your help pronouncing this.
Yeah. So actually, this one's, Vesnyanka. It's called Vesnyanka, and I recently wrote it for some performers in Ukraine, because McGill has this connection with Ukraine students at Kiev University.
Right.
So it's in Ukrainian, and it's supposed to depict Ukrainian music.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Truly, it was a pleasure to talk to you and talk about your music. If you want to check out more about Brooklyn Wood, hit her up on your YouTube channel. I'm sure you have one, as well as your Instagram. Thank you so much again. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and this is Vesnyanka, the Vesnyanka song by Brooklyn Wood.